Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Deanne Baroli Show, and I'm here live doing the broadcast, and very close to Christmas, aren't we? Just tomorrow's Christmas Eve. Wow. Jeez. Moves up on us real quick, isn't it? The rush. Get those final gifts. Get something under the tree. But the concept of Christmas, are we losing that? Are we missing what Christmas is supposed to be about, you know, the birth of Christ and then giving joy, thinking about good things, not bad. But this nation is riddled with bad. Individuals I know are operating and involved with organizations talking about Black Lives Matter all over the country right now. countless numbers of black children and black people being shot down, they are saying, by police, rogue police, I believe. Some of them are real police. Some of them. I'm going to talk about some story that I am very passionate about right now. It has to do with the way that our children, African-American children, are acting and behaving today. Because of the amounts of peer pressure, the things that they see in the news, I talk to them. I don't see any future. That's why that song says, got no future, got no past. Do you have a future if you don't have any past? You're just in limbo. They're walking around. They see their parents out here trying to struggle, trying to make some type of money. They see that the police are on them 24/7 for minor violations, major violations, no violations. They are filling up and swelling up the courtrooms, African-Americans that is, ticket violations. I'm a former deputy. I work traffic. I've seen this before. Revenue stops. First ones that go after African-Americans. Why? Why? Because you know why they do that? Well, you know what? A lot of people don't want you all in their towns. Keep ticketing you. Keep doing things to you, and then you run out. Get out of town. Then there's other issues that are going on. Black people have been through so much going back to slavery. Well, and people, boy, you can't say that to people. They'll say, what are you talking about? You know, this is 2015. This is any different for anyone. We're all slaves. We're not making regular wages. We have jobs that were sent overseas through NAFTA, coming back on our shorelines. And guess what, folks? You're working like slaves again for little minimum money. The wages you make now are the wages people were seeing back there in the 80s, 20 years ago. I mean, sorry, 35 years ago. Excuse me. And this is common wages, and you're supposed to afford inflated rent, inflated amounts of money for housing costs, stealing seniors. It's a breadbasket, folks, a breadbasket to make money for those folks that are gaining beyond you. Government officials get in office and they get in there in about, what, 2-3 years, they have millions of dollars. Conflict of interest of them owning things that they get money through their spot of being in government. I remember when there was a U.S., not U.S., but a state senator that left his position because he was warned, well, you were in banking, you can't be on the banking committee. Well, they don't do that now. How come back then it was said that? He should have been up there and should have been able to flourish with money too. But today, I'm talking about another issue dealing with African Americans, black folks out there. And it stirs me because we have black folks matter, and then do we really matter to our own selves? I read an article not too long ago about this high school student out in the suburbs, and she had been basically harassed so bad in her school that she committed suicide. There was another one where a parent in Downers Grove, Illinois, made out she was a student and kept emailing and harassing this other girl because she got mad at her because of her son. She made out she was a kid, folks, and kept tormenting this young girl, and she committed suicide. And this was going on, God, that was about 10 years ago, folks. And now we're seeing worse of the worst because now they're doing sexting. I just noticed this recently. I did not know anything about sexting, wasn't interested in looking at this stuff because to me, I'm out there, boom, I'm looking at the news, I'm trying to find out what's happening, what's worthy to report, and my God, there's a lot to report. And I haven't been able to do my show because I've been very ill. But the thing is, I had to come out of the box the last couple of times, because last show I did on reverse mortgage, and we're not finished with that one, how they're stealing seniors' homes out here. And it doesn't matter what color you are. But this thing that black people have against each other, it's got to stop. I hear young people every day talking about, oh, yeah, man, I'm light-skinned. Another kid says, no, I'm black. Another one, oh, you know, don't call me black. People in their own homes are talking about multicolored skin, fighting about who's going to be the lightest one or the darkest in the range of color, about what, for what, why, and what purpose in 2015. This stuff is crazy. Then you got parents out there that are sending their kids to school. They don't even have time to go to the school to see what's going on. When I was with my kids, I was on local school councils. I was down there 24/7. If I didn't like what was going on, I pulled my kids out of school for a while. Then, you know, then my kids got mad because they were like, well, Mom, you're not letting us socialize. But I was looking at what was in there to socialize with. And it was scaring me. As soon as you open the door of your house, whatever you taught your children of moral codes and things, it could be vanished in one heartbeat. Even if they love you to death, they still have to get with their peers. And if they sit there and try to do what mommy and daddy tells them or mommy tells them, they get in school and these kids are in there and they're talking all this stuff and talking like little thugs. I went to Wisconsin. I was appalled to what I saw in Madison, Wisconsin, walking in the school. Little kids, no taller than about 3 feet tall, with their arms swaying back and forth, going to school, and talking about they're going to, you know, cap somebody and blah, blah, blah. Little tiny little kids going to school out there in Madison, Wisconsin. Then I come back here to Chicago, and I'm trying to recuperate from Madison. That actually aged me almost 25 years. And if you guys are going to vote for the governor of Madison for president, you are crazy. Look into Madison and see what's going on. I get reports every single day of what's going on out there. That's ridiculous. Why are you putting these people in the White House? It doesn't make sense to me. I'm a Republican. I'm a Democrat. So the heck what? They're the same damn thing. They don't care. The only thing the party cares about is getting that party money on. They don't care about you at this point. It's become a whole corporate robbery against the American people. Now, the trigger today is the fact that last week I was terrorized. Yes, terrorized. I was sitting there in my daughter's house, and because it was a little girly fight, some girl pushed my granddaughter, another girl, a girl, and she pushed her back, and it was a fight. Okay, how many of us have gotten into fights? All colors, nationalities, races in school. Some of them were brutal fights, and we didn't go out there and get on the internet and have parents take obscene pictures and put it all over the internet and then get on there and start shaking their booty around talking about, well, yeah, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you, girl. I'm going to come over your house. Who does that? And we're not embarrassed with anything we do. I see things on Facebook. I go on my Facebook, pop in real quick. I see these women, characters out there, whatever it is. And, I mean, where are we today? Where are we? We're not all Beyonce. If you don't look like Beyonce, don't try to look like her and put the clothes of Beyonce on you, because you ain't going to be Beyonce. You ain't going to be a Madonna. You ain't going to be none of these people. Be you. Stop trying to fit 38 into a zero. It don't work that way. I mean, come on, folks. It is getting brutal out here. And then your kids are looking at what you do, and then they come out in the street, JoJo the cops waiting for them on the corner as soon as they pop out, and they don't know what to do. They don't see no future. They don't see no past. They just see you. They see what's out there, and they act up. So what do they see every day on TV? Sex. What kind of videos do we have? Everything's R-rated.
I don't care what it is. It's still got R in it somewhere along the line. There's no a future rating for children anymore. And what's the music content have in it? The game systems you play, you know, like Grand Theft Auto, what the heck is that about? Stealing and robbing, shooting and killing prostitutes and stuff. What is that? And then kids are sitting there looking at all this stuff, and then somebody says to church, well, follow God, follow the word of our Lord and our Savior, and God be with you. You go out the door, you go home, turn on Grand Theft Auto, have your kids looking at that, go and have your kids running out in the street with a whole bunch of other kids. I remember when I was going to grade school, there was a kid or two in my classroom. It was about two of them around 25 years old. Kind of unnerved me because I was like 7 or 8. Well, they do it. Got that right now going on because the kids coming out of elementary school can't read or write. So when they get into their high school, they got to retrain them again. And they ended the freshman classes, and they've been going with 13, 14-year-olds. They're dressing like they're 18 and 20 years old. And then they're sitting there talking to these older dudes, and they say, hi, baby, why don't you send me a picture of yourself? And then they go and get this camera thing out and take selfies, all kinds of things you would not believe. I mean, I am disgusted. And these are black folks doing this, too. No kind of self-respecting individual would do these things. And you could be in a God-fearing house, a household where, whatever you're talking about. I don't understand. And then you can get your clothes on, walk off, and go into a church and pray to God and say that you're under some God system and then look and thumb your nose at everybody else when what you're doing is just 900 million times worse than whatever it is that you claim the other person. I mean, a girly fight, you can put those kind of pictures on the internet. Don't give a care about these kids that are 13, 14, 15 years old. Don't care. Adult parents that are going to kill you and put all this stuff on video and say it and know that these videos can be recorded because nothing ever disappears off the internet. You know that? Nothing. Everything you put out there stays out there for all eternity. Somebody can pull it up and you know what? You ain't going to have a career. You're not going to have a wife. So what does black people matter there? Fundamentally? Is there any principles, any morals, anything? Or are we just walking around out here in zombie land like they want us to be? We're like the beginning of the zombie culture. No future, no past, just people out here, just roaming out here. They'll get no content of understanding of what it is to be human, and then also don't have any understanding to teach your kids the right way. I know you have to have work, but do you go out here and do work that's going to be fundamentally bad for what your moral principle is for your child and have them see that and then ask them to act appropriate and dress appropriate when you don't? And then they get on the internet and show these pictures of them walking around, you know, doing all kinds of damn, I mean, I am appalled. And then when you complain to schools, to officials about it, it's like, you know, that person must have did something. You know, the people bullying them, they got to be innocent. Please, I did background check after background check on every party involved, all of you all. Every last one of you got some kind of dirt hidden in your closet. And you know what? Back in the day, oh, my God, Christmas is coming up. Back in the day, was it Christ who judged other people? And did he not say he has no sin cast the first stone and nobody could move? So you got a kid out there, instead of taking a kid aside and talking to them, or I got an 18-year-old that's a boy, and he's talking to other boys and then telling, oh, okay, well, you know, get these pictures with these girls, lure them in, and stuff like that. I mean, this is all criminal acts. I remember talking to Kathy O'Brien a long time ago. I didn't have her on my show. I had another woman on,
And I had some other people tell me that this is all about mind control techniques. You know what they do? Kids, underage kids can be manipulated very easily with sexual activity, unappropriated sexual activity if they're shy and inverted and scared. You can change a child from being a person that got an excellent aptitude for being something wonderful in life and change their child based on actions that they see all around. And it doesn't have to be in the household. It could be outside. So where does black folks matter? We're talking about people getting shot by police. And then I'm scratching my head and saying, I'm not saying those kids were bad. I'm not saying they did anything. But I'm just saying, what kind of environment is promoting this? Can we be somewhat, maybe think about the fact we're not civil to people? Maybe when we act and say things, it's not civil. I'm not saying, because I've seen police brutality. I've seen it, witnessed it, reported it, got nowhere with it. Nowhere. I'm an ex-deputy. There's other people I know that worked in the force. And the bottom line is they came forth telling people things, and you know what? They couldn't get anything out. One of them was that guy, Christopher Dahmer, that was out there in California. He was working in there. He saw a disabled woman kicked down and beaten. That was the thing that started him up. So he started going out and blasting, running to shellbacks and people he worked with and stuff. As soon as he went out there, he got killed because he was up there talking to people that was orchestrating the same stuff. How are you going to go over there and tell them to, you know, stop something that they had put together to basically, see, the thing is, you got to look at the fact that people don't get paid unless certain things happen. If there's no crime, who's going to get paid? If there's no criminal activity, who's going to get paid? If there's no warfare going on and we can't move our military, who's going to get paid? So that means all the surface so-called alleged jobs of moving people around thinking that they're working and making money, well, we're actually no different than Spartacus just working in a camp that's setting up gladiators to fight a war on things that are not existent. Like, for instance, the First World and Second World War had to do with gas and oil and corporations. And the new one that's going to come up out of the pipe, it's going to be oil, because right now they're fighting oil over there in the Middle East. It's an oil war going on. While you're sitting there worrying about looking at the stupid things out of the boob tube, and it is a boob tube, because the thing is, when a person is a reporter and they don't research a story and fully research a story, then it becomes boob tube. I mean, you are totally blank to listen to what they're saying because they're just running amok on there because they got to fill commercial time to get those commercials on there so they can make money. It's all about money. It ain't about truth. They don't have enough time to tell the truth. By the time they roll a show story on, they got like about a little more about 3-4 minutes to get the important part of the story out and bam, it's gone. They don't have time to do that. A lot of times they just get interns in, just people to help them, and they have to teach them somewhat of what they need to do for media. All of them are not what you think. I look at these people and you worship them on the news and stuff. I'm like, who's this guy? Where did he come from? He just comes in there and says some rhetoric because some party gave him some money. Why did I know that? Because I am in the media. My dad was in the media from the 30s. I mean, this is real, true media, not no fake media. I came out of AM radio, and I jumped on the Internet before anybody else did. I started creating this stuff off of laptop so I could get on the Internet and broadcast through the Internet and surface it back into my AM show, and then I started doing it all over internationally, stuff like that, because the thing was, I had stuff to report. Because I thought it was very important that we got the right person in for the presidency, and I, obviously you all didn't because you allowed these Bushes and all these other people to get in. So now the aftermath and wake is where we are right now. We ain't got no living wages. It's not living wages. That's why they're pushing the zombie thing. How the heck are you going to take 10, 11, 12 bucks an hour and afford paying your note on your house? How are
you going to afford to take care of your kids? How are you going to afford to keep your car up? How are you going to afford the car fare to get to the job? To do the math. It doesn't work out that way. Then you got Judy and Bob going to school, and they got to look right, and you got to buy shoes. Those things cost, what, $50, $60? You want to get the high-class ones, they're $100-some-odd, so you got to scrape into the next 3-4 paychecks and take all care of that, and you're in the broke world. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse because the thing is we're already saturated past the mark. You know what? It's not even a black issue only. It's Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, Mexican Lives Matter, Green, any kind of color Lives Matters right now because all of us are in the same boat. Our children don't see nothing. Even though you think you have something, they still feel empty inside. They don't have you. You're working. You're trying to get them at babysitters. The babysitters, you don't know what kind of people they are, what the hell they are teaching your kids. You got the kids looking at TV. It's got all this kind of sex thing. I mean, every single day. I know that, you know, people say that there should be lesbian rights and things. But, again, there's got to be moral fibers and standards put here in place. I understand that there were people out there that when I was younger were gay. You knew they were a gay or whatever, but they didn't have to flaunt it in school. These kids had to go to school and they had to be with their peers, and it's difficult for them. It's not all about you. Your relationship with whatever the heck you do, keep it in the closet, wherever it is. I don't even care if you're heterosexual or whatever. Keep it in the closet away from your kids because the kids get infected by what you do and what they see outside. So now they just go out there and get their cell phones out, and they just say, well, they're showing it on TV. Let me be famous, too. I can't get a music career. Nobody's going to hire me. I'm too young. I try to go out here and stuff, and, you know, these guys are hitting on me. I don't have anyone to talk to about what this is about and how to deal with this. Hi, you know, I'm 18. Hi, baby. You want to go kick it with me? You know, and then they're saying to themselves, well, you know, I don't know. And the girlfriend says, oh, yeah, go ahead, do that. Yeah, do that. Go ahead. And then girlfriends don't like them in the first place. Have them do some stuff and tell them it's okay. Then the guy lures them to do some stuff on a video, takes it, shares it with everybody in the countryside, puts it all over the internet, and then tries to, you know, seduce. This is all against the law. But again, evidently black folks don't know how to look at the law because evidently you all don't give a crap. Now, I'm not saying all of you, maybe a few out there, but hey, I ain't seeing it in the area where I am. I went and called some ministers about what's going on. Do they care? Nah. I mean, you know, they're busy. Oh, well, you know, you know, if you're going to be a part of the community, and I would swear that Price, if he was out and he saw this stuff, he'd go over and say, no, that's not you. That's not right. Don't do this to yourself. God will protect you. And just from those words alone, whoever is thinking about doing stuff will put that stuff down and go about doing the right thing morally. And Sarah, we're sitting there talking about, oh, yeah, well, you know, this person did this, this person did that. Yeah, that's true. That is going on. I witnessed it and seen it. But then if you got these people out here so ignorant that they're going to get in a girly fight, and a girly fight is against another girl that's 15 years old against another one, somebody pushes somebody at school, and then you're going to go to the extreme, bizarre behavior of putting videos of yourself on the internet talking about, yeah, who you want some of this? I'm going to come over there. And then come and tap at somebody's door and threaten people and say that you're going to kill them and stuff. I went through that a whole freaking weekend. And then we called the police. You know, they didn't care. Well, you know, you call us, we have to come after you. What the hell kind of society is this? Every freaking dime I pull out of my pocket that is taxed, and I have to give it to somebody, and that tax dollar is going to pay for that, and they ain't representing me, I'm going to be all over the planet on it. I don't put up with that. I came from activists in my family way back. My grandfather on my father's side, activist. My mother on my father's side, activist. She was the first black woman to teach at ITT with under Booker T. Washington. She owned part of the Lake Meadows in Chicago. She worked with the politicians down there. My grandmother on my father's side of the family. My grandfather on my father's side of the family died on the pulpit fighting for rights down there in Texas. Then on my mother's side of the family, the principal chief of the Cherokee Nation, John Ross, was on that side of the family. And he fought for the rights of the Cherokees during the tribulation of the Trail of Tears. And he put up with nothing. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's black, white, green, polka dot, could be checkered. I don't care who you are. If you step on my toes, you know that saying that they got over there, them folks you always talk about, and said, don't tread on me? Hey, I'm one of them not to tread on. I will report internationally whatever I need to do to cease and desist because, again, I am very nice, cordial. I help people out a lot. People come to me, tell me their story. People worldwide have contacted me. And I tried to assist them. I don't get paid. I hear people say, oh, she's out here doing this and that. Oh, she's begging for money. You know what? Sometimes I do ask for money. But again, look, I ask because I'm doing stuff and I don't even have the money sometimes to fax or send anything out. But I do what I do to help people. I don't judge anyone. It's not my way to judge. These same people that were attacking me over there, they were telling me how their kids were pulled out of their house, stripped naked in the street, all kinds of horrific things. I went to bat, called up people and everything, made big rings. I will call Washington, D.C. if I got to. I know a lot of people. I have never in my life seen black people act the way that I'm seeing right now. I also had this person did a show with these people. They were on TV, and they were doing this, boo, oh, boo-hoo, oh, oh, my child, oh, oh. And then they have video, which I got. I was able to pull off of these so-called deleted sites that are out there, and some of them, they didn't delete them fast enough. And the thing was that they were out there saying, yeah, I'm going to kick your, you know what? You think you're going to get more of me? And had this all on the internet. Every freaking word verbatim on the internet. And didn't care that people saw it on the internet, but then come on TV and said, oh, God, oh, I'm dying. I need to go with me. And then one of them went to the hospital. I don't know for what. She was the one that caused the bullying situation. The other, then there was rumor that one got a house and a whole bunch of cash. These two, I don't know what the heck is going on. This is crazy. And then while I'm sitting there and looking at TV and reports of Black Lives Matter, while I'm listening to kids out there saying, oh, you know, Napana, you ain't that light-skinned. I'm more light than you. My brother, he light-skinned. He light-skinned. Who cares? You know light-skinned don't mean nothing. You're still black. Get a grip on yourself. Even Beyonce, she's light-skinned, sort of, a little bit, you know, light-skinned. She ain't white. She's still under constraints of Hollywood. She ain't going to get no money, really. You're seeing stuff that is bounced before you. You think it's real, and it's real, but it's not. There's paper money and real money. There's old money, and I've been around all three of the elements. You're being played. Now, right now, we're moving from this date all the way up to the 30th. This calendar year, at the end of this year, it's the beginning of the fiscal year for the new calendar for the United States. Now, I ask you a question. All the economy is getting ready to crash around you while you're sitting there doing selfies, fighting amongst each other. While you're doing all this stuff, the economy's getting ready to crash. They're getting ready to go to war.
Now, I don't know how many of us know what's going on over here, but this stuff is serious as a heart attack. And I just don't understand what's going on with us in relationship to the world. Now, I am, you know, like I said, I was appalled to what's going on. This thing rolled out for a whole week and a half and went into other broadcasts and stuff about, you know, sexting and all this. But the person that was involved with this was lured to send these pictures out. And then when they got the pictures out, the person evidently passed it on to parents. And these parents, or whatever the heck they are, or whatever you want to call them, decided to put these pictures all over the net. And then called threats friends and family. And then other people sat there and believed whatever they had to say because they're just dirty-minded evil, too. And I will say it. I don't care what anybody says. I have my opinion. And I will state my opinion. A lot of times I don't say anything. I listen and I watch and observe what people do. And if the people are doing things out of the box, you know what? I'm going to open my mouth and I'm going to make waves. Huge ways. Not one to be messed with. Hold on one second. I'm going to see if I can get someone else on the show to talk about this. Hold on. Because, see, I'm looking at other stuff, too, because these stories are going on all over the place where these young girls are actually killing themselves because they have been ridiculed, attacked, have nasty emails sent to them, directed to them, hate me emails and stuff. No reason, just because we can do that. Before this, the wave was running into a shopping mall, a whole bunch of teenagers running in shopping malls and just beat somebody down. Black Lives Matter. They run out of the shopping mall, grab somebody, throw them down on the ground, beat them down until they had blood coming out of their pores, and then they run away. That was about 2-3 years ago. Then in Chicago, on North Michigan Avenue, herds of people would come up and run up on somebody and just beat somebody on Michigan Avenue and steal some stuff and run away. So then they start putting police on every corner down there. You don't mess around with people down the Gold Coast because they will react over there in that one. I used to live down there for years. And that's one of the areas they don't put up with a whole lot of that stuff. But, yeah, they were doing that. Somebody walking down the street, elderly person, bam, boom, 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 boom. You know, and that's supposed to show, what is that supposed to be? What is that? That's Black Lives Matter? Really? Really? The prison system is so filled up with African-Americans, it's not funny. That's a gravy train. They make money off of you all. Behavior, discipline, morals. Now, I know everybody out there that I'm listening to, everybody listening, probably at least, I would say 20% of you would strike out and go to church once a week or something like that. Now, have you ever sat down and thought about this stuff I'm talking to you about? Johnny and Susie with you at school, at the church, or Katrina and her daddy sitting in the church, and, you know, Katrina's sitting there saying, I got to get out of church so I can get on my thing to do my selfie and put on, you know, these instant message things. And it's nothing that disappears, by the way. They'll tell you, oh, yeah, it's gone. No, it stays there. It stays there. It's gone in the front of the screen where you see it, but it can be retrieved. Going back, son. I used to program for binary code back in the day. So you're talking about stuff, it's out there. You can retrieve anything, especially today. Plus, the government keeps all these records, too. So I remember, what's the name, the Miss USA contestant, Vanessa Williams. I met her a long time ago. There was this club she used to sing in Chicago, right by McClure Court, right by CBS. And Marvin Kokolo was a friend of mine, and I don't know where he is these days, but he used to run that club. And Mr. T used to be down there. And she came down there, and she was very attractive. She was running for Miss USA. And she won. Soon as she got up there and got her award and walked down and said, here she is, first black American to be Miss USA. Here we do. Boom. Pop up some pictures. Here we go. Crown taken away from her. Something innocent she thought would become serious later on. The thing is that we need to start conditioning our children in the black community and understanding and making them aware of these things. Because, you know, ain't going to be no situation you're going to jump up and be a Beyonce just, you know, oh, I'm going to sing a song. You know how many people sing out there? There's zillions of them. Some of them hit one time, become a one-hit wonder. You know how much they pay you on those records? If you get 15 cents, you're doing good. You make money on the tours. You don't make money off the records. My dad wrote so much music, it's not even funny. My dad was a music writer. He was a performer. He was an entertainer. He went internationally. Back in the 30s, when blacks were not supposed to you know, achieve or be able to go anywhere, he was all over the country, all over the world. And then he received a key for every state of the United States for his activity. I remember going to Little Rock, Arkansas as a little girl, sitting in the car with my dad in front, my mother in the front of the seat. She's white, he's black. I'm sitting in the back, and they had black and white toilets. I said, oh, y'all can use the other one. It's all right. So, you know, all racial stuff is what they make you believe, and they white people believe in all this stuff about, you know, they don't even know what the bloodline is. If I told them, it scared them to death. Because like, all this stuff you're reading and stuff out there they're telling you is a whole bunch of malarkey to control you. My dad had these cards that are called the levels below. And we are levels below because they don't give us the information in higher learning. We don't have enough money to achieve the higher learning. The only way that we can achieve is that we need to educate each other. Instead, be more friendly to each other. Drop the color thing. Because, like I said, you're all black. Doesn't matter what you want to call yourself. You can be purple black or green black or, white black or whatever you want to call it. You know, vanilla chocolate or wherever you want to be. You're still black. What was the rule of thumb? 1 ounce or 1 little drip of black blood made you black. That's what the old rule was. So it's no different today. You just play yourself. You think that it means something. It means absolutely nothing. And when I see little kids go to school talking about, oh, yeah, that Susie's light skin. Oh, Tony, oh, he's dark. Oh, what? I'm looking at him like, what? Because my eyes, I don't see color. I see people. With my eyes, I hear people. I discern them in spirit of who they are, and if they are injured inside, I try to help them. I'm friends with many people, all walks of life. Doesn't matter. I judge not. Judge ye not unless ye want to be judged. I believe that. That was taught to me. I have no judgment, but the thing is, judgment is there. I'm just reporting facts as I see it. I'm telling you something that needs to be corrected. It's something that needs to be addressed within the black community because, again, the causes that we put out are the effects that we see. If we see people going through what we see going through, then there's a reason we need to regroup and change what we're doing. I'm angry about the fact that African-Americans were underpaid. I worked in accounting, in corporations. I saw the wages. The wage difference gap was about 75%. It was so huge. And then your Social Security, when you collect it now, it isn't an iota to what you should be getting. And I see now some white women are coming forth, and they're protesting that women's wages were not correct, which they were not. But they were higher than African Americans. I don't hear one black person standing up and saying anything about that except for me. Why is it that they had laws on the books of equal rights and equal wages, and we weren't paid it? Somebody should have filed a huge lawsuit against the United States government for allowing these corporations not to pay us correctly.
and what hold our earnings for Social Security. We never got the right amount of money. A lot of whites didn't even get the right amount of money, but they were above us. I saw the record. But then you talk to leadership. Where did they go? Do I go to a campaign party? Nothing is being done to do anything to effectively change all these nightmares that are going on in this country, and it will continue. We have no health care. Obama promised that they have free health care. It's not free. And then when you go in, they don't treat you. You continuously have to go in, and then when you come in, you get billed. So where's the free? We were promised all types of things, all kinds of trinkets, nothing. Well, we're seemingly happy, not having nothing. And then what do we teach? You know what? It used to be clubs you used to go out to. You used to be able to dress elegant. People don't dress like that. You know what? If you compare the people that were out there in the 1930s when the stock market crashed, what they looked like and the clothes they wore to a way that we look now, it's no different. People just destroyed. They're just walking around and they're trying everything to make ends meet. And the same type of look of people today in 2015 exists here in the United States. We create nothing. I look at all this technology we have out here. We work for somebody, but has anybody here flourished to create a company that's, from the USA? We used to pride ourselves, made in USA and offer these products and goods. We got so lazy, we put this out to everybody else and let the government control what we had as businesses and send it out overseas. So now we don't have any control of creating anything. We are not creators, we are worker bees. And the worker bees get nothing. So now, where are we? I spoke of this, and I hope and pray that somebody out there will recognize and start saying, instead of Black Lives Matter, our children matter too. We need to go and stand up and go into schools. We need to form more firmer block clubs to see what's going on with these children. I hate to say this because, I'm for freedom of the press and freedom of information, but I fully believe that we need to basically get rid of these apps that these people can get on this tick. If they're out there and sexting and doing all this stuff, immediately they should be totally removed from the Internet. Let's remove. Banned, not allowed to, go out there and do that any further. Locking them up ain't going to stop it, but it will stop if they can't get access to the Internet. So then they might calm down the behavior. It's kind of like what rats do in the laboratory. Give them a piece of cheese, put them in the maze, and then rats keep running to the spot in the maze looking for cheese, and all of a sudden the cheese is gone. You're sitting there scratching your head, where the cheese go, And they finally get it. They figure out the pattern. Find out the cheese has moved over somewhere else, and then they finally find it out. So maybe we need to just withdraw and stop these apps from being out there that they can, do these selfies and these sextants and stuff. And see what happens when that happens, then the government comes in, makes more rules and regulations and blocks everybody from doing stuff because of a few nutcases out here doing all this crap. It's a sad world we live in. It's really sad. And the thing is, there used to be things out here, when I grew up, they had, amusement parks. They just shut all those down. No, don't have any amusement parks for kids. They go so far out, they cost so much, they can't go to that. Take all the equipment out of the playgrounds where, kids could go out there and, release some of their frustrations and play games and stuff. Take that out, move that out of the equation, make it impossible for them to get to. Parents are so stressed out when they hit the door, they, black out at the door from working 10-15 hour shifts, getting absolutely no money. And then, you know, this is another thing too. Some of these companies, these warehouses, are just crazy what they're doing. They're sitting there having people work 10-15 hours. They come in and they tell them, "Oh, okay, you can't have a locker with a key on it. We can't. You can't provide your lock, and we can't give you a lock. So you leave your purse in this open area with your coat, and your stuff gets stolen, and you complain, and they say to you, well, so what? That's your fault. What the hell is that? They want you to work for a minimum wage, work you like, you know, like you're in some sweat mill in some foreign country, and then treat you like that, and you're here in the United States, and you take it, and you don't say anything. Because, why is that? Because most of us have to go from 70, 80 miles to get to work these days because there's no jobs or industry in certain areas. It's hard to find work. And then the high-tech jobs, even if you have a degree in it, you still can't get work because that's been flooded out. And then people owe so much money in student loans. So now let me ask you this. If you put a whole bunch of one class of people in political office and they sat there and thought this up, and those same people are becoming heads of corporations and they're thinking the same way, don't you think it's time that we not have the same class of people be in office because maybe they can't logically, analytically think? And these people, I'm going to state here, happen to be attorneys. I hate to say this because I'm a paralegal. I work with some hell of a good law firm with good attorneys, but what I'm seeing popping out right now, it scares me. They have no clue of federal law, state law, and if they do, they're twisting it so that they can win a case no matter what. There's no ethics no more. It's all tied into bars, tied into Great Britain, Israel, all types of places you wouldn't believe. The laws of the United States are tied into, and we have no say-so on these courts. These courts need to be rebuilt, restructured, and changed. Because the thing is that the evil has crept in, and it won't leave until we basically recharge up that office. We need to stop getting these. We need to basically have people back, like they did back in the day. Come in, sit down, look in the courts every single day with a notebook. And write down what the judge is doing and what, you know, what they see in these cases. Do a head count, see how many minorities in it. Do it by pen line. Because, again, all this technology has gotten us stupid. We've gotten totally away from understanding the basic fundamentals of right and wrong. Because now we've got the computers doing it. We've got somebody else there. And we can't think. We don't have to think. When we drive in the car, we use maps and apps and stuff. We don't even know where the address is. Turn left, turn right, turn left, turn right. There you are. There's the address. We don't even think. If it was a situation where these apps disappear, how the heck are you going to get home? I kid you not. I remember one time I was trying to get to my house in Hinsdale. When I lived in Hinsdale, I couldn't figure out where it was. I went down here, turned down here, boom, boom, boom. As long as it was on app 5. Off the app, I don't know where it was. Might get lost in a minute. Because we're so used to having these tools around us, we have lost ability. Now it's getting to the point where they're telling you not to write anything down. You don't have no pen and paper. Everything is focused on memory. You have an accident, have an injury, have some type of thing where your memory goes. You miss all these passwords, don't know how to get into anything. And then you try to recall what it is you're trying to do. I mean, and it's all gone. It's erasable information. We have nothing to store in any records that we can go back on because all this stuff is erasable information. It's kind of like, you know, maybe this is the reason why they would talk about Sanskrit. Sanskrit, when somebody took a stick and wrote something in the sand, that was Sanskrit. Okay, so how do you save Sanskrit? Those people were so poor, they had no paper and no parchment. They had nothing. Write in Sanskrit, it would blow away. But then the upper people had pens and paper and stuff they could write stuff on and memories. And they wrote whatever they wrote, and what they wrote didn't necessarily mean what was really going on. And that's why we have all these even these dates we have for when Christ was born. We don't have no real date. How the heck do you time and date something when you don't know where the beginning began? There was no time and date. We don't even know how old this planet is. We don't have. We have done certain different things to come up with time elements, let's say, that'll tell you what we think the time was. At one time, if B.C. was going backwards, A.D. was going forward, B.C., we don't know how far back it went because we had no time records. There were no months. When Julius Caesar was around, every one of those months came from Octavia Julius Caesar for June. Every one of those months represented a emperor of Rome. Now, the thing was that if they counted those months were 10 days to, what was it, 10 days to a week? 10 days to a week and months to a year in the beginning. So how did we know what day Christ was born? I heard this preacher on the radio yesterday saying, oh, Christ was 39 years old. How do you know that? Where you got that from? Oh, well, it's right there in the book. Okay, Constantine took information that he decided to use to put into the Bible. So it's a part of these texts that they had that they used to define what was going to go in the Bible. So the accuracy of time reference has never been accurate to this day. You got the Chinese calendar. You have the Jewish calendar. We have calendars. All of them have different dating. So how do you come up with a specific date and a birth date and all this for Christ and all these people? You don't know. I remember talking to somebody not too long ago, Africans. Africans, a lot of them didn't even know how old they were. They would say, oh, you remember when, what's the name, was Prince Chief? Okay, that guy, when he was in, I was born about maybe sometime right after that when a tree fell. They don't know what date they were born. The older Africans don't. There was no time reference. So how do we come up with all these dates? Oh, this day happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. Recent current dating is pretty much accurate to this time frame that we're looking at. But the truth of the matter is we have no time reference. It was carbon dating. That went back so far. They haven't even been able to basically determine how far back they can go on carbon dating. So the time references that we have for these kinds of depictions of things is off. And like I said, it's just thinking. It's not reading what they give you. It's taking what they give you and looking at it and researching it and then asking your mind, does that sound right? Wow, there's something wrong with this. What's the truth on this? Maybe let me look a little further. And when you look further, you find out that the factors that you're looking for right there in your face, that what they're telling you is a bunch of malarkey to control you, to control your money, to get you to do what they want you to do, to get you to create wars, thoughts of wars, to send your kids to be in wars, to fight for corporations, to keep this financial stream going. And the financial stream is busted now. So everybody went out there and spent $90 billion or whatever for Christmas, and if what I'm seeing is going to happen in February, when stuff is going to hit the fan, and then the economy is going to really start crushing, and you're going to see more and more people forcing you to have credit card use. In fact, I just got a letter in from a bank telling me something about, oh, we're changing our terms and agreement now, and this has got to be this, and you're only allowed to get a certain amount of money out per day, and we're tapping you off, and da-da-da-da. That's telling you a sign right there that something's getting ready to happen with the money system. So if it happens to the money system, you can't get your money out of the bank, how are you going to pay for your house note, your car note? How are you going to be able to maintain anything? Then if they had debt in prison, then you got to work off your debt. Then it's going to be another situation. And then the seniors, they try to force them into the Soylent Green mill so they don't have to give them to get their property, take their house, milk it out by renting it out and doing whatever the heck they want with it, stealing all the fiduciary reference to the property, including personal property as well. And then when it's all drained out, stick them in nursing home, and they got like maybe 6 months to live before their hip breaks and they have a hip replacement, and then they're gone. And by the way, women are, look it up, you know, don't believe me, there's reports done by the Medical Association that women do not fare good with hip replacement surgery. It does not work for women. So, you know, the thing is, they'll tell you these things. I read these reports. So the bottom line is, where are we going to go with this? Are we going to sit here in a struggle and try to figure out what to do collectively as a people working together? Are we going to do this thing where only certain people matter and, all of us are going to struggle and say, oh, no, they didn't do that. You did this. And this, that, and the other. It's like when they used to throw rocks at two sides of the equation and hide behind a boulder and have both of them fight it out. And then when the one wins, the weakest one wins, you come out and hit them in the head with a rock and kill them because then you have no opponent. That's what they're doing with us. This is a nightmare, folks, and like I said before, I know I rolled and changed the conversation over to the economy, but it's important, it's on my mind, because in February I see nothing but nightmares, and the thing that's going on right now with these girls out here and boys doing all this sex stuff and sending this thing out, I don't know what's going on. They're supposed to have sex education in schools. Evidently they don't have that available. They don't know how to control it. The parents don't have no time for this. Some of the parents are involved. By the way, these pictures get on the Internet. People can use it for white slavery. They can, call somebody, have your family member kidnapped and sent somewhere, overseas. You never see them again. I mean, all kinds of hideous things can happen. And these boys should be ashamed of themselves. They have no respect for these girls. And you have no respect for your mother, the person who gave birth to you. If you can take thoughts of doing these ugly things to young girls, then what are you? What are you? And by the way, all this stuff that I'm talking about, eventually, everybody that's involved with this stuff, eventually, you're going to live to regret it because it's going to come to your mind and say, oh, my God, why did I do that? I shouldn't have done that. I did that at a young age. I was real stupid. Some of you just shut it off and just do more worse things when you get older. But then some people snap out of it and the morals, and then they'll sit back and think about, what they have done. And you can't reverse any of this stuff. Once you do it, it's there. It's already there. The harm has been done. I think about the girl that died in Downers Grove, the one that died of Bolingbrook High School. The one in 2013, they took her life because somebody was sharing nasty information on the Internet, videos and stuff. She killed herself. Nobody cared about that because now this is 2015. There's nobody talking about it. They should have done an annual thing about her life. And the girl that died in Bowling, Downers Grove. And the other girls that died in California, all over the place, from people sexing and texting and doing all this nasty-ass stuff. For what point? You're not going to be famous. You're not getting nothing out of it. Nobody cares about who you think you are. That stuff goes viral for a day, and then your picture's lost in the stream of billions of people streaming all over the Internet. All you are is just a one prototype of person in the midst of billions of people trying to get famous. Now, on my Facebook, I got a lot of people on my Facebook, a lot, on the social networks I'm on, because I've been developing this for years. And then when I see people do stuff, I will kick them off of my site. As it takes, I have to go through at least 5,000 people first to sign their name. They're gone. They ain't going to stay on my site. I ain't going to help, finance, do nothing. I've been kicking politicians off of my site, too. I see them come on there, I'm like, oh, okay, how did this guy get in there? Okay, let me take a couple of days to find him, kick him off of my site.
I'm not going to support anybody like that. Why would I support them and put back them so that they will, you know, go out there and cause havoc with other people and stuff? I'm not doing that. So why don't you get addressed into that too? Use the social media for what it was supposed to be intended for. It's actually supposed to be for business and talking and chatting about positive things, you know, not where it's getting to the point where people can walk around and show them naked, you know what, on the air. I don't want to see that. Maybe you got people out there do. I don't care. Don't send me that. Don't, and by the way, don't even ask me out. Do not ask me out. I don't know you. I don't operate like that. I don't know none of these people. I see people on there. Some of them I meet. Some of them I have met on Facebook, you know, and they've been cool. I've been cool. But the thing is, I'm not into that kind of thing. I'm a face-to-face person. And you had to do something pretty extraordinary to get me to stop. Because I'm really busy. I'm trying to handle a whole lot of stuff because, see, life is too short, very short. I had a brain bleed injury. I had surgery. I've been in a wheelchair. I had back injury. I have neck injury. I'm still walking around, still trying to do what I'm doing. I have congestive heart failure. I have a lot of illnesses. And, you know, a lot of people don't share that, but I'm sharing it with you to let you know how bad the situation can be for people and the struggle. There are the people who are sick than I am out there going right back to work with tubes down their nose, breathing equipment that have retired because they can't get retirement because they don't even have no money. And it's not only black people, it's white people too. Lost their whole earnings, everything. Had to restart. Right on. Go, you get your 401k. Where is it at? There's no 401k. If they file bankruptcy, I argued this point a long time ago, and I had an economist tell me, oh, no, it's still there. Hey, where's the ones I had? Non-existent. I just saw, by the way, a report the other day that the police chief in New York is getting ready to run for mayor. Okay, you all for vote him in? You're in on it, too. Ain't no different. You are not any different. Because if you actually did some background research on him and Mayor Giuliani and stuff, you would have found out some stuff you would not even have thought about, that they should not allow none of these people in office. But again, what are you going to do? Vote them back in. Get them back in there, put them in, and then complain later on, oh, this is horrible. Oh, I'm being taxed. Oh, this is going on. Oh, my God, this is a nightmare. And who did it? You. You did it. Because it's not even you voting anymore. It's gotten surpassed that. All it is that they just put out, oh, all the people in the world are interested in Canada. It could be two people for all you know. They got this thing so rigged and fixed, it ain't even funny. And you play the game. You play the game, and they play you every single day. Well, I did my rant tonight, and I hope you understand. I'm not attacking. I'm enlightening. I'm saying to people, do black people matter? Do you matter if you have situations and such with your teams that you feel that you can attack other people and threaten them? Yeah. Do you think that's okay? Do you think it's okay to go to church after that and pray to God and say that, you know, I'm with you, God, you know, in spirit, I love you, God, and then get on the internet and say nasty things about a young girl and put the picture out there? Do you think that that's godly? Really? Do you think that it's good measure to show your kids your behavior and attitude, think that they're going to act better than you, and then when they act horrible when you get older, and maybe don't even want to have much to do with you because of what you did to them when they were younger? See, everything my mother told me, when you threw a rock in the water, it rippled out, and you could, the water always changed. You never come back and change it. So I've been very careful in what I choose to do. Very careful. And when I choose to do it, I'll take the ramifications of whatever it is. whatever it is, it's my coordinate you have to, not yours, mine. So the bottom line, are you doing that, or are you judging? Are you throwing that, casting that rock when you have no right to cast the rock until you go over there and look at the man and woman in that mirror and see it, and maybe cast judgment on yourself? So this is Deanne tonight, and I'll be back. And another broadcast I'm going to do will deal with No Planes, 9/11. At first, I was like thinking that wasn't real. I had Dean Hart on my show, Hartman on my show. He had the No Plane Theory years ago. I listened to him. I found it kind of logical. But then there was something that came to me, a video I saw. Maybe I should talk about it here and now because, you know what, I got more time on the show and not over, you know, broadcast yet. The issue is, I remember after 9/11, I had talked to some people right after, and they told me that they had gotten a huge amount of money. Money that you wouldn't even believe. They brought bread, that car, everything they wanted. I didn't think about it at first. I never, you know, really thought about this stuff. A couple more trickled in, told me the same thing. Huge amount of money they got. I didn't say anything about that either, you know, because still working on the things that Dr. Judy Wood was talking about and everybody was talking about. Thermite had Chomsky on my show. We went through all this stuff. We talked about all this stuff. I did the forensic of 9/11. In fact, every show I did, I had the top forensic expert scientists on. I called into Europe. I called all over the place and put all the top people that were Nobel Peace Prize winners, and everybody that I had talked to came up with this series of 9/11. I was one of the first members of 9/11 scholars for 9/11, 9/11 truth. I kept researching and researching, and then I came with the conclusion because I started looking at stuff. Like where the plane hit, there was this zigzag mark, which didn't make any sense to me because if the plane went through a building, it would leave a little small zigzag mark. And then one of the pictures, I saw a woman was standing in the imprint of that mark on the building. And I was like, how could she be standing there? If the plane hit the building, the first tower, then, and it was, you know, fire or anything, how the heck did she walk over there, you know, standing there, looking out of the hole of where this was? It was like, and I have pictures of it on my internet site. It's disturbing. Okay, so anyway, I was looking at that and looking at some of the other things I was looking at. And I remember having a guy on from England. He was there, and he worked for his company. And he told me the week before, all of them were told to move all the financial records out of World Trade Center. And they were working nonstop, almost 24 hours a day, trying to move all the fiduciary records out of the building quickly. Then there were notes coming around from the Port of Authority telling them that the power was going to be off that weekend. And I didn't think about all this stuff until I saw this last picture. A black man is on YouTube. And he said he was standing in the window when the plane hit. And it came through his floor. And he said under the desk. When he said that, all types of thought processes went through my head. A plane searing through a building, traveling 500-some miles an hour, hits the window of a building. And this guy can go and hide under his desk, not be burned. And the plane is going to go through, hit the load-bearing wall. He's able to get up and get out of the building from a tall floor. I think it was 70-some floor he was on. So how did he get out of the building? If the plane came through over his head and went under the desk, how'd he do that? And not be scarred. Then in addition to that, I was like, how did the plane go through the low bearing wall and come through the end of the plane building and back up, make a like noise like that, and then all of a sudden disintegrate the floor. None of that stuff happened. It was just total controlled demolition, simplistical. Holographs were used to make you believe it was planes. I believe this. And I believe some of the people that you saw running through the building were just a part of film actor guild thing. Because, again, when I was in the World Trade Center, I remember the doors down there. And there were revolving doors. I think it was like two or four of them. And then the rest of the stuff was glass, and they had two doors that would open. Now, how the heck did all these millions of people come running out of the building and run onto New York grounds through a revolving door? Now, a good example, if you look at the footprint of what happened to E2, the nightclub in Chicago, that place had upstairs, they had the dancing dining room downstairs, one stairway down, and they had the revolving, well, they had a, if I remember correctly, because I had been there, there's a door that you opened up, one little door, glass door, and then there was another door that you opened to go outside. All these people ended up all smushed up at the door entrance, and they died, suffocated, and got stomped to death. So you mean that all these people were able to run out of the World Trade Center building, run and hoof themselves all across the bridge, and none of these other scenarios happened? Is that real? It was staged demolition. On that day, too, all the police were down the other end of the borough because it was the day when they were electing a mayor. They were all down the other end. Other police had to come in from different areas in New York, you know, Buffalo, there was another place over there. Couldn't even mention it because somebody told me something. But anyway, they came in the building. They didn't know what was going on. Nobody even told them there were any planes that were in the building. All that stuff was hushed up. Why? How come all the phone systems were down? You know, who did all this stuff? It's impossible for just a couple of guys coming over on a plane and stuff like that that's supposed to have been able to train for 2-3 weeks on a Boeing. And like I said, I was looking at Boeing cockpit every day in the office I was in, and they had a schematic on the cockpit that was ridiculous. They had at least 300 switches and knobs. Now, how the heck is somebody going to remember where all those 300 knobs are, fly a plane, do 500-some miles an hour, and take a plane and loop it around the building in a complete semicircle, take it through the building, and then do all that stuff? It's impossible. And the best pilots in the world I talked to, none of them could have done that. And they even flew military. So, you know, all this stuff was a lie. Everything was a lie. Why did they do it? Because look at what's happening right now. They were able to go into the Middle East, have an oil war, take down people's currency so they can send new currency in. Everything's going like clockwork. And we are the doofuses again. Because we believe everything. They said everything's conspiracy. You believe that. Everything that they tell you, you believe. And by believing it, that's why we're here right now. This is the thing, too, about these so-called terror groups like ISIS and stuff. How do they get over here? How the heck that we can't get out of here? We got to go through airport security. They're looking for everything, you know, go through all that. And you mean people come over here and they just pop over here and they ain't got no kind of identity that you can hear. I heard that last week, and this is the same thing complained about on September 11 before, that people manufacturing fake IDs and, passports and stuff. And the thing is, I reported that before 9/11, you know, and after. And the thing was, they didn't do anything about it. So if they're looking for these so-called homegrown terrorists, how come they're not listening to the public? A lot of public people came through and brought a whole lot of information to them. So what's the difference between the first so-called wave and the second? It's no different because it's an inside job. No way nobody can get into huge buildings and do all this stuff that they were talking about without somebody being inside it. And look who benefited. There's people. Why did they knight a mayor? Why didn't they make him an honorary knight? You know that's treasonous? Or, you know, that means that he was doing something for a foreign country? I don't understand. Public, wake up. Start reading, looking at stuff. For real. I mean, what's going on here? We are the ones that caused the annihilation of the world. I don't know. There's nothing else for me to say. It's just nothing else. I stood on my head. I did 300 million broadcasts. I was on 7 days a week for I don't know how many years trying to push stuff out. Everybody on the shows that I could think of, even interviewed David Koresh's mom, talked to David Koresh before they got him. I interviewed so many people about stuff and talked to people and had other people and contact and all that. I put so much stuff out there. It's just amazing. And then people look at stuff and they poo-poo my stuff. And the stuff is, my stuff is accurate because I talked to the actual people or I got the actual documentation or pulled up things that other people have failed to put out there and ignore that. And then somebody like 10 years later will write up the same thing I wrote up and then, oh, that's extraordinary. Wow. I didn't think about that. I don't know. It's done. You know, what can I say? I had gotten an email from Don at Linda LaRouche's party today saying that he's got to get out of the air because there's some stuff getting ready to happen real bad. You know, I don't know if he's talking economy because, like I just talked to him before and we were on the same wave that this economy is getting ready to crash. Bottom line is that I feel it's too late because nobody's listening. Everybody's doing, you know, selfies and sexies and all this other kind of stuff and so busy trying to keep up with social media and Charlie Sheen and all his stuff with his whatever the hell he's doing. I'm telling you, that's what they want to do. Let them do it. Get involved with what you need to survive with. I don't know. I said all I can say. Anyway, I shall be back on the air, I'm hoping, and I hope this gets through, and those that follow me, please pass this on to your other people. I'm going to put this on every social media network I got, and even up into Europe and wherever I got to go to make waves, get somebody to listen, to understand what's happening here in this country. Going down hell in a handbasket. And Black Lives Matter, if they matter to you. So this is Deanne Burley. My contact me is deanne.burley@gmail.com. deanne.burley@gmail.com. I read all my emails. I'm up to 570,000 emails. So I bid you all fairly good night, and thank you for listening to my show, and think about it.